When a public holiday rolls around, it's easy to just focus on the fact that it's a holiday, a day off to do whatever we want, rather than think about the occasion that is being celebrated or observed, the real reason why that day is a non-working day. Today is Korea's 개천절, which literally translates to the day when the sky opened up. It is National Foundation Day. It celebrates the legendary formation of the first Korean state of Gojoseon in 2333 BC. But I wonder how many people actually thought of the legends of Dangun today, or the Hongik Ingan, the humanitarian ideal with which he founded the nation. There were probably a lot more people who just thought, it's nice to have Monday off. I wish I could have Tuesday off too. A day can be as meaningful as we make it. Today could have been just a normal holiday or just a normal Monday for some, but there's got to be somebody out there who really felt like the skies opened up for them today. For whatever reason. I'm Lena Park, and this is One Fine Day. Welcome to One Fine Day with Lena Park. We started today's show with one of mine. It was 하늘을 날다, hot air balloon. I didn't think it would be very appropriate for National Foundation Day, but look at that. Totally works. Well, listeners, what would make you feel like the sky has opened up for you? Or a whole new world has presented itself to you? How about discovering a brand new hobby? Tasting your new favorite flavor for the first time? How about meeting someone new who you just know is going to change your life? How about falling in love? So, what kind of 개천절 or National Foundation Day are you having right now? And for those listeners outside of Korea, what kind of Monday are you having? We're officially starting the work week of a new month, right? How are you feeling about that? And did you also know that the first ancient Korean nation was first founded 4,355 years ago? It's pretty cool. Now, today's One Fine Day has been pre-recorded on account of this public holiday, but as always, our communication channels are very much open, so feel free to drop by to say hello or share your saeyeondeul, stories and anecdotes about anything and everything. Nothing is too trivial. Anything goes. You can do that on Kong or on the message boards on our website at world.kbs.co.kr or by leaving a comment on our latest posts on Instagram at KBS One Fine Day, and Facebook at facebook.com/EnglishKBS. If you have a Korean phone number, you could also send a text message to #8150. A regular SMS text will cost 50 won. A long text or MMS message will cost 100 won per text. In part two of today's show, we will be joined by K-pop producer-engineer John Kim for an inside look into the world of K-pop for K-pop Inside Outside, so stay tuned for that. But right now, let's listen to our next song. Here's Kaho with Running. We just heard Running by Kaho. Now, just a quick reminder before we move on. Send your messages on Kong, comment on our SNS posts, write on any of the message boards on our website at world.kbs.co.kr. Or, if you're in Korea, you could even send me a text to #8150. and you will be automatically entered into our daily prize draw. Prize winners are selected each day after the show, so if you've sent me any feedback, don't forget to check the notice section on the webpage. If you do see your screen name or part of your phone number on the prize winners list, send us your shipping info via email so that we can send you your prize as soon as possible. All right, now for our next song break. First up, here's Isora with track 2, followed by Jo Won-sun and her song, Haru Haru, Day by Day. Hope you enjoyed that nice, chill, laid-back song break. It was, of course, Haru Haru, Day by Day by Jo Won-sun, and then Isora with track 2 before that. Now, before moving on to our next song break, let me just remind you that reruns of One Fine Day are aired multiple times throughout the day. You can catch them on the website or via our mobile apps like Kong and KBS World Radio On Air. Our broadcast timetable is available on the website and on both of these apps, so please take a look. Past episodes of the program can also be streamed in the Listen Again menu on our website or via podcast. So you can pretty much listen to us whenever you'd like, wherever you are. All you have to do is look us up wherever you get your podcasts. But please keep in mind, the songs we play on the show are not included on the podcasts due to copyright reasons. All right, as promised, here's our next song. It's actually called Your Song, and it's by On and Off. You're listening to One Fine Day with Lena Park on KBS World Radio. Next up, we're going to listen to a couple of feel-good love songs. Songs that just exude love, like a melting ice cream cone, just dripping with sweet feels. Now, first up, we have Song Si-kyung with his song, I Love You, in which the protagonist can't hold himself back from expressing his love anymore. He says, I want you. It took me so long to say this. I love you, and I can't take it back or hold it in anymore. After that, we will listen to 뭐가 그리 좋은지 몰라, Happy is the English title, by One More Chance. And in this song, the protagonist says, just thinking of you makes me smile, and I'm happy even when I'm doing something I hate. Before he wraps up the song by popping the question, will you be mine? All right, let's listen to these sweet, sweet songs back to back. I Love You by Song Si-kyung, and then 뭐가 그리 좋은지 몰라, Happy by One More Chance. They're different, but not entirely. Two different songs from two different parts of the world. It's like they belong to a parallel universe. It's time to listen to a couple of songs that are seemingly nothing alike, but actually similar in one way or another upon closer inspection. One K-pop track and one non-K-pop track. It's parallel universe. Today we've got two songs that ask the simple question, why? We'll start with the K-pop song, Where or Why? By G.O.D. Formed in January of 1999, G.O.D. was one of the most beloved boy groups of that era. They were the first idol group to win the title, 국민 group or 국민 national group, because they were just so popular amongst people of all age groups. Perhaps it's not so surprising now that they were the first group to have worked with producer Bang Si-hyuk, who later went on to create BTS. Their song, Wae, was a part of their third studio album entitled Chapter 3, released in 2000. This is a post-breakup song of regrets that starts like this. Why? Why did I let you go? Why am I crying now like a fool? I don't know, even now. I want to tell you to come back. I don't want to let you go. Why is it that there are still regrets left in my heart? Yes, it's easy to ask this simple question, but much harder to answer it, isn't it? As for our non-K-pop parallel of the day, we'll listen to Why by Scottish singer-songwriter Annie Lennox. She was a part of the new wave band, The Tourists, in the 1970s, and one half of the internationally successful pop duo The Eurythmics in the 1980s. But since the 90s, she is also a very successful solo artist. Her song Why was actually her debut single as a solo artist. It was released in March of 1992, taken from her debut solo album entitled Diva. It reached number 5 in the UK, number 1 in Italy, while also peaking within the top 10 in 8 other countries. Now, she's stated in interviews that Why was a personal song related to her going solo, about how she wasn't sure that she could write songs by herself, or wasn't sure about where she was going in music or in life. But the success of the song clearly showed that she's got what it takes, or she had what it took, to go solo. Here's a bit of the words. Tell me why. This is the book I never read. These are the words I never said. This is the path I'll never tread. These are the dreams I'll dream instead. This is the joy that's seldom spread. These are the tears we shed. This is the fear, this is the dread. These are the contents of my head. And these are the years that we have spent. And this is what they represent. And this is how I feel. All right, I remember that song truly inspiring me back when I was a wee high schooler. Let's listen to these songs now. First up, G.O.D. with Way or Why, and then Why by Annie Lennox. That was Annie Lennox with Why. Truly a masterpiece, even listening to it now. Before that, G.O.D., a classic, their song Wae or Why. Those were the Parallel Universe songs of the day. In part two of today's show, we will be joined by K-pop producer-engineer John Kim for an insider's in-depth insight into the industry of K-pop for K-pop Inside. I'll be back with part two after one more song break. Here's J-Rabbit with their cover of the song 바람이 불어오는 곳, Where the Wind Blows. 바람이 불어오는 곳, 그곳으로 가네. 그대... Welcome to part two of One Fine Day with Lena Park. In just a moment, we'll get an expert insider's view into the world of K-pop with K-pop producer-engineer John Kim, so don't change the channel. Let me just remind you one more time how you can reach me if you have any questions or comments. You can text me at sharp 8150 if you're in Korea. And if you're anywhere else in the world, feel free to message me on Kong, right on the various message boards on our website, world.kbs.co.kr, or leave me a comment on our posts on Instagram at @kbsonefineday or on Facebook at facebook.com/englishkbs. Let's take a quick song break to give John some time to get settled in. First up is Sugar Bowl with their song What a Day. And after that, we'll listen to Mellow Monks singing 부끄럼, Shy. The world of K-pop is ever-changing and ever-evolving. You think you're keeping up, but all it takes is a blink of an eye before you find yourself playing catch-up. Fortunately, we know some folks in the know, experts who can help us stay on track by sharing their secrets from the inside as well as their well-trained views from the outside. It's time for K-pop Inside Outside. K-pop Inside Outside is a segment designed to help us keep up to date and learn a little bit more about K-pop from two different points of view. Now, today, we're getting views from the inside from K-pop producer engineer John Kim. Welcome back
to
the studio. How have you been?
I've been great. It's officially October.
Oh my goodness.
It is the month of pumpkin spice lattes.
I miss
those. It is officially time for fall
I
to come.
I miss those.
Yes.
And you and I are operating from the same kind of memories of autumn.
Yes.
Southern California autumns. Now, contrary to stereotypical belief, we do have an autumn.
We have it. The leaves still fall.
They still turn red and yellow.
It
gets colder.
A little bit. Not as much. But you see the leaves changing. I think that's the biggest part. You see, like for me, when I was in high school, right?
Yeah.
This is the biggest memory for me. But always, this is right when we go back to school and a month later, right?
Yes.
Where the leaves start to turn yellow and red and they start
beautiful.
To fall. And there's late night football games.
That's
and
right.
you go out and you wish you had a girlfriend. Or a boyfriend. And you're lonely. But it's okay because they sell pumpkin spice lattes and chili and hot chocolate and it's perfect. It's not too cold.
Yeah.
It's not too hot. It's just perfect to get in a little blanket and just have a little sip of your drink. And it's perfect because it's not too cold, right?
Yeah, but, it's that middle line, middle of the road.
But they still play Christmas music.
That's true.
They still play Christmas music.
As soon as fall hits, it's sort of this downhill slope really quickly to Christmas.
Yeah.
But it is lovely. My memories that I associate mostly with fall is going back to school because of our new school year starts in September.
Right.
And so all of a sudden, just when it starts getting a little harder to wake up in the morning because it's cold,
right.
that's when you got to wake up early in the morning to go to school.
Oh, man.
And it's cold, but you know.
Yeah.
And, well, cold for us. And one of my favorite memories of fall is the smell of burning leaves. You know, when you're walking to school or walking to your bus stop or whatever. And that's what, you know, we got to rake up all those leaves and what we do with them. So there's just this like toasty kind of smell in the air. And I always associate that with fall.
Oh, yeah.
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 That and then those, you know, those seasonal aisles like in the drugstores?
Oh, yes. You go through and in January, it's always the Valentine's stuff.
Right?
And then,
exactly.
And then, yeah.
And that's what I remember so vividly. The Halloween stuff.
The Halloween stuff. Yes, you start buying all the candy for the trick-or-treaters.
Right.
Which is actually, it's kind of sad that Korea doesn't have that, you know.
The trick-or-treating.
Yeah, I miss that. I remember
Me
when
too.
I was a little kid, I used to do that. And, I mean, hopefully.
Wasn't it not, like, your favorite holiday ever?
It was the best, but, you know, I think you might be able to relate to this, but coming from a very religious household, my parents didn't let me dress up, and so I would always go out and just wear some random clothes, sneak out, right, and just have, like a random grocery bag instead of, like, the proper basket, but I'd follow my friends and be like, I'm just a little kid, and then just ask for candy anyway.
That's very creative. Same with me, my family. They did not understand all the money that went into costumes. costumes and trying to, like, right. you know, put blood on your face. This was very kind of, they didn't get it.
Yeah.
And they didn't want to pay any money for the costume. So once in a while, I could convince them to get me one of those from the drugstore aisle. You know, the things that just are hanging in the rack.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
The really ghetto plastic thing with the
just
plastic
mask. Just like a tutu or something like that. Something like that, right?
But mostly I had to be creative like you. So I'd wear my hanbok and be the...
A hanbok.
I'm a Korean girl.
I'm a Korean.
Just,
maybe put on some really white makeup. Be like, I'm a Korean ghost.
Yeah, I mean, it was just like really random. Back in the 80s, not a lot of people were familiar with Korean traditions, so a hanbok actually made a big impact. They're like, my, what are you? So we had to be very creative, and then after the Halloween stuff, the Thanksgiving stuff, you know, making turkeys in elementary school out of construction paper. This is stuff that makes fall wonderful.
Did you ever do the thing with
your
hand? Yeah, you just trace your hand and turn that into a turkey.
We all did that as a kid. I think of all the seasons, fall brings back these memories that make you feel sort of warm and fuzzy.
Warm, right? Yeah, it's my favorite season. It has
so
to
wonderful.
Be. I mean, winter is great too. But after having lived on the East Coast and in Korea, I've learned to appreciate fall more.
Me too. East Coast falls are also so...
They're beautiful.
Beautiful.
Yes.
And you really appreciate, when you're on the East Coast, you appreciate a nice day.
Yeah.
Much more than I did when I was in California.
Yeah.
And the same here in Korea, too. And we're enjoying some gorgeous days, finally.
Yes. Finally. It's cooler. It's much nicer.
Finally. And we also got a nice playlist to sort of, I don't know, just celebrate. And, you know, you brought in songs today that evoke this wonderful feeling of autumn.
Yeah, it's my fall playlist. It's it's not a playlist of the newest songs, but they're songs for me that just bring that warmth that we were talking about. It makes you think about cuddling up under a blanket and having your pumpkin spice latte, right?
This is a fantastic playlist you brought in today, so I'm really excited to get started. Let's launch into our first. This is John's fall picks, all right? And we've got some great picks, and if it's not already on your fall playlist, you're going to add them right away.
Yes, and they might already be there because they're already really popular.
Oh, no.
But we're starting off with the iconic song by Crush. It's called Fall in English. It's all in Korean, it's 어떻게 지내.
Yes.
And I feel like it's one of Crush's best songs.
Really?
Yeah, I mean, I love Crush. I've been following him since I was in college and since he's been out. But after having met him and, you know, worked on some of his music and stuff, I always lean back onto this song, and I think this is the Crush that I really appreciate, because this is when I feel like he's kind of come out of trying to act cool, you know, because
I know what you mean.
Yeah,
because he had a really hard a really young start.
Yeah,
and they were calling him the icon of new R&B, KRMB. And that's gonna put a lot of pressure on you to always be edgy.
Right.
Yes.
And, you know, he was always kind of following Zion T's footsteps to try to be, you know, to try to be the R&B, the guy for R&B, right?
But Usher of Korea.
Right. Yeah. But when he came out with this song, it kind of took a step back. And it's like, I don't need to be so trendy.
Yeah.
I want to be moody.
Yeah.
You know, I want to be emotional.
Yeah.
And kind of create music from my heart. And I don't know if this is public information. It's not public information, but I know that at the time of this release, there was a girl that he was seeing. And I know that this song was about that girl.
Oh.
And so that makes it more special and
close to his heart.
Yeah. And so this is one of his best songs. It's laid back.
Yeah.
It's got some really muted drums that remind me of like old school, like black R&B, but he brings this warmth without trying to seem like too cool. Like, it's not like
forced.
I'm using these black music sounds. It's not like that. It's like, no, these are my roots. This is what I like, but this is also my heart. Right?
I love that.
So I think that's why the song, it just works. It speaks to people.
Yes. And we've seen him grow so much more mature throughout the years. And like you said, with that maturity, there's a sort of a letting go and a relaxation that actually opens up for a lot more creativity.
Yeah.
All right, let's listen. We're starting things off. We're getting in the mood for, this is the pumpkin spice latte playlist, if you will. And we're starting off with Crush. 어떻게 지내? Or Fall. right. We just listened to Crush. 어떻게 지내? It's a kind of a... It's interesting because it's kind of a classic storyline for a lot of fall songs. Mm-hmm. When you look up 가을 or autumn mm-hmm. or fall and you're looking for playlists for K-pop, mm-hmm. you would get a lot of this. This is when you start thinking about what was... You get the all nostalgic one, for yeah. the one that got away. Mm. And I wonder how you are. and he follows that, but it happens to be something now that we know mm-hmm. close to his own heart yes. and experience. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't sound forced. It doesn't sound like he's using a formula. And, you know, of course, fall is English title, but 어떻게 지내 is how are you doing? And that's so yeah. simple. Mm-hmm. You wonder, right? We all wonder.
Yeah, and, you know, speaking of force, you know, I remember actually now he was talking to us. We were after recording, we went out for drinks and mm-hmm. we were having sushi.
Oh.
But he was just talking about how recently, mm-hmm. at the time, yeah. this song had just been released. Mm-hmm. And he was telling us that he had changed up his voice. He changed the way he was singing because
yes.
the way he was singing on his first release with like Sofa and
that
the
era.
Red Jacket.
Yeah,
release.
Red leather, the Beat It jacket.
Yes, yes. That at that time he was using his voice in a way mm-hmm. that really strained his voice. Like he wanted to sound cool mm-hmm. and have that like husky tone.
Yes.
But for this song, he changed
super
his voice.
Soft, lot more headspace.
He started rounded. Opening up his throat. Actually, and you can actually hear it if you listen to the songs before
yes.
this on that Red Leather Jacket album.
Yes, not the Beat It, but the Bad era.
Yes.
Michael Jackson Bad.
If you compare them, you can hear where he's much more relaxed here. And he was talking about he couldn't sing for a while. He couldn't record music until when he got to this song, he was finally able to do it without straining himself because he changed up the way he was singing. And since then, he's been using his voice in a much healthier way.
Oh, thank goodness.
And he's able to sing longer concerts now.
Yes.
He told me before that he couldn't sing concerts through without losing his voice in the middle of the show because he was using his voice in the wrong way, basically. But now he's able to do it seamlessly.
Well, I'm so glad he was able to figure out or, you know, get some sort of training or some advice from an expert, because that is the sad fate of a lot of singers, and it's one of the things that I most worry about too. Being nice to your instrument, you know, you're not gonna, you know, if you're a guitarist, right, you're not gonna leave your guitar out on your porch, right, not
right.
in a case and whatever. But that's kind of what some singers do to their voice, the equivalent of when they're not taking care of, or they just don't know that there's a method, there's a way to actually use your throat without wearing it out.
Right.
Finding that is always the key.
Mm-hmm.
So we thank Crush for doing that and discovering that so he can sing for us for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
All right, we're going to move on to our next very lovely, lovely track
this
for the day.
This is a song, it kind of caught me off guard. So we're going to be talking about Dream by Suji and Baekhyun.
Yeah.
So this song caught me off guard because Suji, I mean, from Miss A, obviously, she's, these days you see her more in acting and modeling and stuff, but she's had some really great releases over the years, and I think this is one of her greatest.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a sweet, lovely acoustic ballad, kind of a bright, little indie track. And it's different from the stuff that she's done, you know. With Miss A, she's had that like aggressive, like
very energetic
like popular, like I'm all that kind of a thing, right?
Very true.
And then with her own releases, it's been more like, yeah, I'm the it girl. I can sing, I can dance, I can do all that. But then for here, she's like taking a backseat and she's like, yeah, I'll be the girlfriend here.
Oh,
you know, right?
Yeah, I'll be the girl next door.
Right.
I'll do the sweet.
And she kills it.
Yeah.
I think she really does.
She
a lot of people think because Suji is so talented at acting, she's great looking too, right? She might not be a great singer, but that's so far from the truth. She's actually such an amazing vocalist. And people don't know that. When I got to work with her, the first thing that shocked me was I got her raw vocal stems.
Yes.
I got to hear her sing totally untuned
and
natural.
Yeah.
And she sounds amazing.
Wow.
And that's one of the things that really changed my mind about idols.
Yeah.
You know, originally, I thought, like, idols, they need a lot of work, you know, as an engineer.
But they're multitasking, so, yeah, you know.
We let it go. We let them do their thing, right?
No, I'm glad you mentioned this, because this is a stereotype that is global.
Right.
To, you know, the genre of K-pop idol music in general, that, oh, you don't really, like, you don't really think of a vocalist as virtuosic if they're in a girl group. Just because you're in a boy or girl group, you're automatically assumed to not be as good as a singer.
Right.
This is unfortunately a stereotype.
It's not true. I mean, as an engineer, you know, I am able to take vocals that are not the greatest and make them sound passable. But at the end of the day, it's the vocal of the artist that's coming through.
The source material doesn't change.
And
you can only change it so
much. There's this saying, especially in engineering, we say this a lot, but you can't polish a poop. You can't polish a turd. Is what we say.
Do you guys really say that?
We say that. You can't polish a turd.
But it's so true, and that applies to pretty much everything in life.
And so, I mean, we try to do the best we can to make people sound good. But at the end of the day, if the artist doesn't sound good, it doesn't sound good.
Yeah.
But this one, it sounds great. Suji does an amazing job. Mm-hmm. And Baekhyun from EXO, he's an amazing singer as well.
So good.
And they have this chemistry in their vocals that mash together really well. The way they do their harmonies and play off each other. Mm-hmm. It's beautiful.
Yeah, it's a great song. You know, we've heard this song. It's a very popularly requested song as well. And, of course, it was a huge hit when it first came out.
Yeah.
But this is the first time we're listening to it with your take on it, and especially with your own personal experiences with singer Suzy. So that makes it kind of a fresh take that we can have when we listen to it again and revisit this song we haven't heard in a while. So it's good. Let's listen. Here's Suzy and Baekhyun with Dream. We just listened to Dream by Suji and Baekhyun. I really haven't heard this song in a while, so it was really nice to revisit it. I totally forgot about that muted trumpet.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
And also, you know, you were mentioning Suji is also, she's very lovely. And I think it was Kimina, lyricist, who was on the show. And she was actually involved in the production of this joint project single. And she was describing them in a studio shooting their music video for this song. They're just on a stool and staring at each other.
Right.
And she said that the whole set was they were just so quiet. There was no chitter chatter or anything, because, like you said, the chemistry, their loveliness, they're just so, both of them are so beautiful.
I mean, if you look at the video, you can tell the way that it's just a simple screen, right? Just looking at the two of them, seeing to each other.
But you can't take your eyes off.
Yeah. I mean, both of them are beautiful,
they're
right?
So beautiful.
Baekhyun is beautiful. Yes. Suji is beautiful. Yes. And then the band in the background, it just meshes perfectly to create this soundscape and this mood, right?
Yes. It's beautiful. And it was nice. It's really nice to revisit this song again. My goodness. Wonderful stuff. All right, pumpkin spice latte, anyone?
Yes.
Well, we've got a lot of that here in the form of music.
Yes.
Our next track for the day.
All right, and we're going to be looking at Park Hyo Shin's Wildflower Yasenghwa. So this song is...
big guns.
It's a big one, right? It's one that's still at the top of every Norebang chart for every male guy that goes to the Norebang and wants to sing to impress whoever
somebody,
or practice their chops, right?
Wow.
And I can't lie, I was one of them a long time ago.
Yeah.
When this song first came out, I was one of those guys. I went to the Norebang and I tried to sing this, and I did not sound very good.
No.
I did not.
I don't believe you.
But Park Hyo Shin, he is some sort of monster.
Yes.
Honestly.
You nailed it.
He's some sort of monster, especially on this song. This is the song that put him on my radar.
And a lot of other people's radar.
Yeah. I wasn't, and I still am not, but I was not very well informed on ballad singers.
Yes.
I was more into the idols, you know, and because that was kind of the place that I wanted to go, like, as a producer, you know, that's, I wanted to be with all the, like, the glitter
the
and everything,
edge.
Right? But then songs like this, it's not normally on my radar. Like, no. But this one, it stood out to me. Mm-hmm. I mean, when I first heard it, obviously the piano and then the deep, luscious vocal.
Yes.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
It sounds almost like Park Hyo-shin, he's singing into this really dark microphone. Mm-hmm. And they could have chosen to brighten it up, yeah, and make it sound like a lot clearer, yeah, but I feel like they went for this muted sound, mm-hmm, on purpose, because
more lows than highs on the EQ, you mean?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, it sounds almost like, if you look at the video, he's singing into a 58,
yes,
we call it. It's a, mm-hmm, dynamic microphone, and, mm-hmm, normally vocalisting on condensers or tube microphones to, mm-hmm, get like the full range.
Yes.
But here, because Park Hyo-shin has such a deep and luscious voice, they chose to go with this darker sound.
Mm-hmm.
But when he goes to his upper register, yeah, towards the end, mm-hmm, you can tell why they chose to start dark. Because the range of emotions and dynamics, yeah, and tone frequencies, yeah, that are in this song are just something else.
Yeah.
And I remember also, I was in college when I first heard this song.
Mm-hmm.
I saw a live video of him singing the song.
Yeah.
And there were two points that really stood out to me.
Uh-huh.
The first one was, there are these like church tube bells,
yes,
that they use,
mm-hmm, the
in
handles,
this song. Yeah, and that just sounded so majestic to me. And you can't really hear it very well in the...
yeah, I didn't even notice it in the original.
In the original version. But, mm-hmm, if you look at his live, they make those a lot more prominent. And you can actually listen to it in the background. You'll hear it.
Okay.
But those bells,
mm-hmm,
it gave me goosebumps.
Wow.
The way that they used it.
Because, yeah,
that's not an instrument that you see used very often,
no,
in modern day music.
Yes.
Even in ballads, like, there might be orchestral arrangements, but using those kinds of bells, that's,
yes,
that's reserved for something else.
Mm-hmm.
And the second, in that same video,
yeah,
is just, there was that one really high note that he hits in the,
mm-hmm,
middle,
uh-huh,
the climax point, right?
Yeah.
And then he hits it,
uh-huh,
the band stops, and then he starts crying. He starts tearing up. Do you know what I'm talking about? Have you seen the video?
No, I don't know.
You have to check it out. He's so caught up in the emotion. And,
wow,
he sheds a tear mid-concert in the middle of the song.
Yeah.
They stop it.
Uh-huh.
They stop the song.
Uh-huh.
And then once he's done, he catches up with himself.
Yes.
They finish the song.
Oh.
And I remember that took me
on a... That must have blown you away.
It took me on a whole range of emotions.
Yeah.
There's not a lot of moments where I listen to a live performance,
mm-hmm,
and I go... Wow, I felt that.
Wow.
You know? And especially with, you know, just pre-recorded, like, videos,
yes,
right? Like, if I'm at the concert, maybe, yeah, I can feel it more. But,
sure,
usually with videos, it's like, you can't really...
The lot gets lost.
Yeah, but,
mm-hmm,
in that video,
yeah,
you can totally feel his raw emotion,
mm-hmm,
and power. And I have a very close friend who was Park Hyo-shin's guitarist,
mm-hmm,
for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And what he would talk about all the time was Park Hyo-shin is very emotional when he sings.
Yes.
Even in rehearsals,
yes,
he makes it a point that he's lost in the song,
oh,
at all times. So,
wow.
I mean, you can tell on,
yes,
his performances,
yes,
that the emotion is always there.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, that's an amazing insight into Park Hyo-shin, who is definitely one of the best, one of the top vocalists in Korea.
Yeah.
That's uncontested. But yeah, he is also another person. We were talking about this with Crush, how he changed his voice to try and make it better,
mm-hmm,
for him in terms of endurance.
Mm-hmm.
Park Hyo-shin is a singer that I know. You call him a monster. I think,
huh,
of him as a chameleon.
Mm.
Because he has this soul, he has this tone,
hmm,
but he can change it,
mm,
so much,
yeah,
much more than just an average person doing different tones and genres.
Mm-hmm.
He transforms his voice.
Right.
He's like a shapeshifter almost,
yeah,
with his voice, to the point where I get goosebumps when,
mm-hmm,
I sometimes see him. You know, you want to hear John Legend, Park Hyo-shin? Sure, I'll give it to you. And then he'll do it. And you're like,
right,
oh, okay.
Yeah.
Right? And every singer can do different tones, but to the extent that he does it, I have not seen the likes of.
Mm-hmm.
So that's my insight and then our insight. And we all know the song, but,
mm-hmm,
we're, again, got a fresh take as we listen to it again here. We're revisiting beautiful, beautiful song, Yasin Flower, Wildflower by Park Hyo-shin. That was Yasenghwa Wildflower by Park Hyo-shin. It's pretty fantastic. He is definitely someone to check out. A lot of his songs do really work well with fall, doesn't it? Yeah, absolutely. When you told me that he puts his all and gets into the emotional space every single time in his practice, I had to take pause because I'm like... Oh, yeah, I can't do that. It's too tired.
It takes a special type of person to do that.
Sometimes, I mean, when I'm gearing up for a concert, and if it's a song that I haven't done in a while, I will do it full, 95%, 90% power in the rehearsal studio, because I believe I have to input it into muscle memory. If you haven't done it before, your muscles are not used to doing it, then it's harder.
Yeah.
But for songs that I've done for, you know, 24 years, thousands and thousands of times, I'm talking Yukume, I rarely ever sing that actually at all.
Right, you just go through the motions.
I just sit there.
Mm-hmm.
And and sometimes I'll ask the band, do you need to, because we don't have to. And they're like, okay, we don't have to either. And we'll actually just not.
Oh, I see.
Because... I don't want it to get too stale.
Right.
I can't visit that emotional space all that often.
Right.
Because there's this decay, right, of intensity. So that's completely opposite. So it kind of blew my mind when you told me about Park Hyo-shin doing that. That's pretty hardcore.
That is. I mean, it's definitely not easy. You know, it takes...
That's why he's so skinny.
Yeah, that makes sense. Just all... And then when he sings, you know, veins that pop out of his head, you can see all of that. Oh my gosh.
Oh, 어렵게 산다.
No, but I mean, it pays off.
That's fantastic stuff. We've got maestros today here.
We do.
I consider our next artist another maestro of our time.
Absolutely. We're talking about Zion T, and you can't have an autumn or fall playlist without Zion T these days.
No.
Zion T has created this kind of space for R&B artists in Korea, I feel like.
Yes.
With his kind of new school approach to doing things where he's not like showing off like the best vocal chops, but instead he's showing off this emotion, right? This emotion or like this vibe.
Sentiment,
And he creates this space for his music where he doesn't have to really sing it almost so, especially with this song. We're talking about 꺼내 먹어 or eat.
I love this song.
And it's a cute little song for your lover, right?
Yeah.
You know, like 꺼내 먹어요, like you can grab it and eat it. It's a really cute song where he doesn't really sing all that much, as much as he just talks to the person
the song is being
delivered to,
right? Exactly. The way he wrote the lyrics, he also made it extremely conversational.
Yeah.
So, and then 꺼내 먹어요 is also just, that's in and of itself a phrase that's very colloquial. It's something... It's weird because usually when we hear 꺼내 먹어, it's something that like our mom will tell us.
Yeah, right? I think that's the point.
I've got something in the fridge, just heat it up. 꺼내 먹어. Just eat it up. But then he adds a 요.
Yeah.
At the end, indicating that this is sort of a romantic relationship that's not completely progressed yet.
Right, and it's really cute because he talks about the song as that way. He's like, you can take the song out anytime you need it and just eat it.
Right.
Just
let
eat
it right edify up. You.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, and
brilliant.
I feel like this is the perfect song, you know? Like, I remember this came out while I was in college, and when it came out, everyone was like, oh my gosh, this is the cutest song.
Yeah.
We gotta do like covers of this and everything. And I remember one of my hyungs did a cover of this, and he got all the ladies after that.
Oh,
I remember he got a girlfriend right after he did a cover of this song.
꺼내 먹어요?
Yeah, I remember that. That was super funny. But
that is funny.
Yeah, Zion T's been creating these amazing R&B songs that are kind of breaking the boundaries of what we think of as R&B. Right?
It reminds me of what you were talking about with Crush, where before, you know, Zion T was sort of kind of the leader, and Crush was one of the artists that came after him. But Zion T opened, I think, paved the way for Crush to do a song like 어떻게 지내?
Right.
Or Fall, because he started changing what we talk about in songs. And he has the sentiment of like an Lee Moon-se 1980s song.
Oh, yeah.
But in a very modern K-R&B style.
The modern style, too. You know, that when Zion T first came out with his music, I first listened to it and thought, who is this poor person who can't mix their music? Who is this poor person, who cannot afford to find a mix engineer?
Yeah.
But then he got really popular.
Yes.
And as time went on,
his
sound was still poor. And, and it took me a very long time to listen to it and to realize, no, this is what he wanted to do all this time.
Yes.
And it's all part of his master plan. It's all part of his plan to create this intimate space where there's like no reverb anywhere. Mm-hmm. It's super dry.
Yeah.
And it's just, it's so simple.
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. And it makes sense because his vocals, they're super simple too.
Yes.
He never goes out of his way to create these thick stacks that we might hear in modern day R&B from other artists, you know?
Right.
It's just... it's about getting the message across.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. I think he's driven by his lyrics, right? And then whatever will achieve the most, like, lyric absorption very quickly, that's kind of his end game, it seems like.
Yeah.
And 꺼내먹으리 was one of those things where showing vulnerability and sensitivity as an R&B singer is, you know, it's totally different from, like, that hip-hop, like, we gotta, like, you know, we gotta flex kind of thing.
Yeah.
He's anti-flex.
Yeah, absolutely.
If anything
no flex.
Else.
Yeah.
No flex. Mm-hmm. Just bearing it all, being vulnerable, being silly.
And that's his flex, actually.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And that is where his power comes from. You know, the power to get a girlfriend, apparently. All right, let's listen. Another staple for our fall playlist, 꺼내먹어요, Eat by Zion T.
안녕.
That was Zion T with 꺼내먹어요 or Eat. He's getting very metaphysical here. You can just save this song for when you're feeling a little noshy, right? For some support. And that metaphor between being hungry, not for food, but for actual support and comfort.
Mm-hmm.
And then he says, well, take this song out because I wrote it for you,
for
you to save when you're a little snacky. Your soul needs a snack.
Yes.
Who writes like that?
You know, it takes a virtuoso,
if
like you said. You know, it takes someone with that creative mind to do something out of the box. And Zion T is just that person.
We've got all maestros on the playlist today, and we're sort of calling it the pumpkin spice latte playlist here because we are really now in fall is actually kind of kicked in finally. It was really hot for the longest time.
Yeah.
It's not even an Indian summer. I don't know what it was, but it just kept being hot and humid. The summer that just did not want to say goodbye, but here we are in fall. And then what better way to get in the mood for the transition than with music?
Yes.
Our last song of the day.
Speaking of virtuosos.
Yes.
And creative people.
Yes.
We got to end off, and we can't have a seasonal playlist without IU.
That's true. We can't have a seasonal playlist for any season without something from IU.
IU has this way of creating these spaces in her songs where if you close your eyes for a second, you listen to it, it transports you into that weather, into that time of year with certain songs. You know, with spring, every spring, the, what's it called? The 벚꽃,
봄 사랑 벚꽃 말고.
Yes, that one.
Yes.
That one, it's not just like it comes back into playlist. It hits the charts every single
year.
True. There's no year in the last few years where that song hasn't been in the top five.
Yeah.
And it's such an old song already,
right? Yes, yes.
And I think for autumn, she's nailed it with this last one. It's called 가을 아침 or autumn morning. It's a remake, but it's IU's rendition of it where she creates like this calm, like almost like zen kind of feel with the simple guitar and the way she sings it and delivers it, and it just makes you feel warm inside. If anything is gonna be a pumpkin spice latte song, it's gonna be this one.
This is definitely a new staple for all fall playlists. Even though it hasn't been around for that long. I mean, maybe like 5 years. But it's from her covers album. And it is, of course, a cover of Yang Yin's song. And you know what's interesting is everyone was so blown away because she sings the entire first verse completely a cappella.
Right.
With absolutely no... And if you hear Yang Yin Sunbaenim's actual original version, that is how she sang it as well. Completely a cappella, and the guitar doesn't come in. The song is written by guitarist Lee Byung-woo, by the way. Doesn't come in into the... So IU kept that.
Yeah.
But something about... Because, you know, she describes a time in her life. She's describing a typical autumn morning, father coming home with the vegetables, that kind of stuff.
Right.
Sounds of the neighborhood waking to life. But those lyrics are from, you know, someone who grew up in the 70s or 60s.
Right, right.
And Yang Hyun is singing about that with nostalgia back in the 80s. So then with IU reinterpreting that, what's changed that makes her version so... you know, hit home.
I think, you know, bringing home the vegetables, things like that, we all have
kind our of
our version of
that.
That's
right? True.
And I'm sure that IU is no stranger to that. She must have vivid memories of, you know, of something, you know, of similar, you know, like in Korea, there's always that image of dad coming home with the chicken.
That's right.
Right?
Yeah.
And so when I heard that lyric, obviously I'm not from Korea, so I don't know. I don't have a dad that brings home chicken.
No, but we know but what she's know, talking
right.
about.
Right. And so it kind of brings up those kinds of thoughts, you know, right. those warm feelings of, you know. Yeah.
It's amazing. Sometimes I used to think of it as when Yang Hyun sings it, you know, she has a much more mature sounding voice. And IU has this, you know, eternal childlike quality to her voice, and when she sings it so simple, no technique, as simply as she possibly could. It makes me think of like a mother-daughter dynamic, like something that was passed down to a generation.
Yeah, for sure.
And then she's passing that down to future generations as well.
Yeah, I mean, I'm really grateful to IU for bringing this back. Because, you know, for me, this is not a song that I grew up on. Obviously, this is before my time. And so
not many of us, really.
IU's version of this song is actually it was my first time hearing the song.
Right.
And so it takes me back and it lets me listen to the original. And especially with this entire album that she did with remakes, you know?
Yeah.
It reintroduces some old classics for the newer generation. So
and
I'm really
appreciative.
And
it was important to do that.
That.
And she pays such respect and homage to these songs. And this is a true gem that I'm also really glad she brought back into the public consciousness with her. She knows her power. She knows she's got it.
Yeah, of course.
And she's like, okay, Queen IU, I shall shed light on this hidden gem. And, you know, and, you know, and it'll happen. She's like, make it so. And it happens. It's pretty amazing stuff here. And of course, the most wonderful way to close out our beautiful fall playlist.
Yes.
Ugh, I just want a pumpkin spice latte so bad right now.
Are you feeling warm and cuddly
I'm feeling
yet?
Very warm and cozy. Yes. It's actually gotten warmer and cozier in here just talking and listening to these songs, right, John?
It has.
You know?
My glasses are fogging up.
Our glasses are fogging up. I mean, this is a real thing that music is just kind of evoking this warmth. It actually creating energy.
Yeah.
Thank you again. And we hope you have a wonderful rest of the evening and a safe trip home.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much for having me.
Okay. And happy National Foundation Day, which is the day that we are celebrating here today. Yeah. All right. We'll see you next time, John.
Bye-bye.
Okay. Taking John out. 가을 아침, Autumn Morning by IU. 이른 아침 작은 새들 노랫소리 들려오면 언제나 그랬듯 아쉽게 잠을 깬다 창문 하나 햇살 가득 That was IU with her version of the song 가을 아침 or Autumn Morning peacefully bringing us to the end of today's One Fine Day. Let me say goodbye with a song from 이상은. It's 비밀의 화원, The Secret Garden, taking us out. Thank you all for tuning in. We'll see you tomorrow.